We talk Bruins as they get ready for Game 2 of their Stanley Cup playoff series with the Capitals. Tonight we are joined by Ty Anderson of 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hello, Ty.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm really well, and I want to get right to the important stuff to start things off. What is your favorite movie theater snack?
Oh, movie theater snack? I would say probably Skittles. But if I'm allowed to break the rules here and sneak my own candy in, I tend to like going with either the Hot Tamales or Charles Chews. But again, that's kind of breaking the rules sometimes. Got to respect the rules, I know. But if I have to buy from the counter, probably Skittles. That tends to be my favorite one they offer. How about you?
I like the Hot Tamales. Not many people are in that with me. I appreciate that. Popcorn, number one, all time. But I like to sometimes balance the salty with something sweet. If I'm going to get it there at the theater, I'm going to go with the classic, and plus my love of Seinfeld, give me the Junior Mints.
Oh, of course. That's a great pick as well. Got to admit.
All right, here's my goal for our session today, Ty. We're going to get through this whole thing without spending any time on the goaltender because it's not his fault.
I would agree with that. And for me, it comes down to a simple point. If your goaltender only surrenders 2 goals on 31 shots and you're going against a team's third-string goaltender, if you factor in who Washington was missing entering this game, yes, you should win that game. That's not the goaltender's fault. You just score 3 goals. This team is capable of doing that. We've seen it all year long, especially since deadline. So I think that if you woke up on Sunday or ended Saturday blaming Tuukka Rask, I don't think you understand the real issue that was at play for the Boston Bruins in Game 1.
All right, so let's talk goaltenders, but Craig Anderson, was this a classic missed opportunity?
In my opinion, it was. I know that Anderson's a veteran. He's played in this spot before. He has a great career playoff numbers, to be honest with you, but he only played 168 minutes this year. He's made 2 starts in the last 15 months, calendar year, 15 months here. So he hasn't played a ton. And the chance that you did get on him, he looked lost. Like, he was giving up massive rebounds. He wasn't tracking the puck as well as you'd think. So for me, that's a missed opportunity, right? Like, and they missed the net 21 times, which is just a huge number for them. They're most since December 2018. So for me, that's what comes down to being a missed opportunity. They didn't challenge this guy enough, and now he might be in rhythm here. So now it might be a little bit harder to get him going. But ultimately, I think it doesn't matter who's in net for the Bruins. If Craig Anderson is in net for the Capitals, that's an advantage for you, in my opinion. So you got to take advantage of that if you're the Bruins entering tonight's game.
And what was wrong with the power play the other night?
Not enough. I would say the movement was predictable, right? Like they were moving, but it was sort of predictable where they were trying to feed it, where the shots were going, where the passes were going. And you got to give Washington some credit, right? They have a pretty good power play. Chara obviously has a massive reach, a massive stick. So he was breaking up some would-be opportunities for them as well. So I just think that when this power play struggles, it's predictable, right? And so I thought you saw a lot of the same movements that they've kind of made here and what just wasn't there. I think entering game 2 with the power play, one thing I really want to get going here, we haven't seen enough of it at all this year, in my opinion, is Pastrnak loading up that one-timer. And can he find the space? Can the Bruins create the space for him to get that off? Because teams have been eliminating him. And when that happens, I think the Bruins do struggle. But I want to see if they can drop some plays here to get him open, get him freed up, because that's been a weapon for them this year, but especially against Washington.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown. Ed, did it seem to you like the Caps were trying to establish a real physical presence early in the game?
Oh, it felt that way in the first 6 to 8 minutes, I would say. You had Ovechkin running around. I mean, crushed Krejci. He crushed Backstrom, his own teammate at one point as well, going for a hit. So they have that edge over the Bruins, right? And I think that's pretty obvious, especially up front with some of their forwards. So for the Bruins, it's about setting a different kind of physicality. It's talking about pressure, right, on their forecheck, using their speed, making some of their bigger players, make them make plays with the puck that they may not want to make. Your Brendan Dillon, your Charas. I would even include Justin Schultz and Trevor Van Riemsdyk in that category as well on the back end. So that's the kind of anxiety that the Bruins have to instill in the Capitals. It's a different kind of physicality, but it's something that can pay off for your team nevertheless. So I would like to see more of that from the Bruins versus trying to match the Capitals hit for hit, because if you do that, in my opinion, you're not going to win because they just simply have more guys to do it.
And it, to me, it's just adding insult to injury anytime Tom Wilson does something well.
Yeah, it's really difficult to watch him. You know, it's interesting because I think that if Wilson were a Bruin, we'd love him, right? Because he's like Lucic. He's like an in-prime Milan Lucic where he's mastered the art of walking that line. He crosses it sometimes. But when he's on, man, he's so physical. He's so tough to play against. But yes, no, watching him play is on the other side, it's not fun for anybody. It's just, he's one of these guys. He just plays a style that's very, it's very aggressive and it's very in your face. And if you can't match it, man, you hate seeing him do anything well. Even the assist bothers you at this point.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Just to see him celebrate, and I start to grind my teeth a little bit here. Now, on the podcast, you talked about game one and changes that might be made for game two. But as you pointed out, the roster is the roster. There aren't a lot of options and maybe more time for Trent Frederick, but who would sit?
Yeah, exactly. So that's how you look at it, right? Especially, let's consider that game one, your goals were from Nick Ritchie and from Jake DeBrusk. Now, the latter is important because I think that he's the first guy that has been taken out. If the Bruins are going to make a move here on their roster, to put Trent Frederick in, I would assume that it would either be Jake DeBrusk or Chris Wagner coming out of the lineup. Both those guys did their jobs in game one, so it sends a bad message if you take them out of the lineup and put Trent Frederick in. So I look at that third line and say, okay, if they have another bad game here, maybe you try to reconfigure that line. Maybe you move Coyle back to the middle. You drop Corrali down, and then you see how it all shakes out. But the lines that you would tinker with, I would say, namely, again, those fourth liners, they played well. You can't do that. So this is sort of a true test tonight to see how they perform. There is one lineup change. Connor Clifton is in for the injured Jeremy Lauzon. But up front, this sort of feels like their best combination. And Frederick is in there. You know, he's the bolt in the chamber. I've written for if the series gets too physical and the Bruins need to have a response, especially on home ice. So maybe game three or game four is where we see that. But you got to sort of go with these guys and hope that they can either A, keep it going, or B, find their game and start moving. Because when that third line is moving, it's a pretty good one.
Who's got to step up and play well for them to even the series tonight?
I would say the Grizzlick-McAvoy pairing, and I say that only because their assignment is going to be a tough one tonight. They're probably going to draw a lot of Ovechkin throughout the evening. I think that's one of the plans that the Bruins are going to have for tonight's game. But also, this pairing is a very good pairing in terms of pushing pace the other way, taking chances, creating offense. And while they had some look in game one, it wasn't what we've typically seen from them. So I think it's obvious to say the first line and the second line need to do something, but for me, that defensive pairing of Grizzlick and McAvoy, they're going to set the tone for tonight in more ways than one and at both ends. So I think they need to have a big game for the Bruins to head back to Boston tied 1-1.
Impressive bit of social media research as well, Ty, revealing that history is happening before our eyes with these dual Boston-Washington matchups.
Yeah, this is pretty wild, actually. So I didn't, you know, I've always looked back and because I thought this happened before, right? I thought that for some reason we came close to this. Well, we did. In 2013, the New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics played in the first round. That was in early April. Unfortunately, the Bruins didn't meet the Rangers until about mid-May in the second round of the 2013 playoffs. So we were close. We were about a month away. It also came close about a month apart in 2003 with the Celtics and the Nets and the Bruins and the Devils. The closest we've come before this currently, what's happening here with the Celtics in the play-in against the Wizards and the Bruins against the Capitals, is in 1973 we came 5 days away from the Bruins playing the Rangers at the same time and the Celtics playing the Knicks at the same time. So we're very close, but we are watching history tonight. So it should be a fun little 72 hours here in Boston.
That's amazing. Great stuff there. Ty Anderson, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Ty, we appreciate it as always. Next time I have hot tamales, I'll think of you, and when we talk again in a couple of weeks, hopefully we're talking about a second-round playoff series.
Oh, I sure hope so. It's always good chatting, and hot tamales forever.
Right. Thanks, Ty. We'll talk with you soon. Ty Anderson of the Sports Hub in Boston here on Downtown.